You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. And I don't know if you guys ever get the feeling that I had it yesterday where everything can go wrong and a fantasy football Sunday goes wrong and it just puts you in the worst damn mood ever. By 8 o'clock last night, before the Seahawks even started, that's where I was. It was like a fun Sunday where you just watched your player go down, your other player go down, your other player go down, your team be the worst team in the NFL, and then watch your lead slip away. Watch one of your survivor teams lose when you listen to Matt Modica. It was an abomination of a Sunday in week four. Hopefully yours was better, Corey. What's going on, man?
Everything's going pretty good. Had a decent Sunday yesterday. Can't complain. Like the way everything shaked out and worked out. Some of these players, though, we got to start looking at, you know, we got to start looking at, like, with our eyes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We got to forget about the talent and the upside and the possibilities.
Are you saying Joe Mixon is fake news?
Joe Mixon is, I got the receipts on Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
They don't look impressive.
No.
This is not a thing.
Yeah.
It's not a thing.
Amari Cooper.
I got the receipts on Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
It don't look impressive.
Yeah, I kind of feel like now I understand how Don Lemon and Anderson Cooper feel spreading fake news.
Yeah, I think the same could be said for Tucker Carlson. Shut up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not worried about that part. Yeah. But, you know, Scott, we got this. There's some players out here. They're not who we thought they were.
No,
and it's time. And a month into this thing, it's time to come to that realization, and it's time to get off these bandwagons.
Well, Scott, come on.
Good morning. And after 4 weeks, usually you get a gauge on every year where guys are at. But you know, the really challenging thing is this year, and maybe just because we're in the throes of it right now, just seems like more of a barrage of injuries more than anywhere else. It's just like all these major significant guys and even some of the secondary guys. Like if you drafted David Johnson, Dalvin Cook, and you picked up Chris Carson off the wire, you know, all these guys with seemingly major injuries here, it's almost like not how good you drafted. It's like, can you survive? It's like winning your league this year might be thinking about how well can you manage your team through all this adversity?
Yeah, you know, I do feel, to be fair, I say this every year, this is the worst year of injuries you've ever seen. But, you know, yesterday affected me, so now I feel like crap. All right, we're gonna take a break. We'll say hello to Matt in just a moment. But when we come back, we'll go through all the games, which wasn't pleasant for me. We'll be back right after this.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
So, as I said, you know, there's certain mornings I walk to work and I'm just in a fantastic mood, feeling good, my teams are great, everything's going well. And then there's mornings like today where every possible thing went wrong. It's amazing. My girlfriend was home with her parents and I was just like, I had my TV, I was like in football heaven yesterday. Instead, I drowned a slow death by myself throughout the day. Matt Modica was terrible.
I mean, look, things, it started off bad for me. I took Alvin Kamara out of my lineup, which was a mistake. But, you know, I had the come to Jesus moment last weekend when I was wrong on Deshaun Watson and the wonder that he is. And then, I mean, yesterday, what, five touchdowns? He just went, he went insane.
Bonkers.
You know, then the death blow to Dalvin Cook. I mean, that was, you know, that was, there were highs and lows throughout the day. But, you know, I, after 4 weeks, one thing I did notice is I prefer the odd weeks over the even weeks. And luckily, there's more odd weeks than even weeks. So, but all in all, I do need a good night from Kareem Hunt. So I'll be watching tonight's game.
That'll be the end of you if anything happens to him tonight.
Oh, God, no.
That's the end of you. That's literally the end of you.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not even think that. But my survivor pick of the week for me was Seattle. I had already used Atlanta.
You said Atlanta was number one.
Look, I'm going to tell you right here and right now, I have been so wrong on the Bills. I'm going to stop talking about the Bills. I'm going to actually jump in and believe the Bills now.
Oh, now they're going to lose three straight.
So the Bills season will just go down the drain immediately.
So now, because now you want them to win.
Yeah.
Now you're in.
Yeah, they're better. They're better than New England.
Yeah, they're playing very good defense.
Yeah, they're buying into Sean McDermott for sure.
Worst team in the league is the Miami Dolphins.
No, it's New York Giants, bro.
I think the Dolphins are worse.
I don't know, man.
It's close. They got shut out by the Saints.
I guess you guys make good points. All right, let's start in Minnesota, guys. Because I think that's the important place to go. Mm-hmm. And speaking about defenses that are not who we thought they were, the Detroit defense, I get they faced Case Keenum this week. They're good. I don't want to hear any of this crap that they're not good. They're good. They've gotten, I don't know what they did yesterday with points, but with the first three games, they finished double-digit fantasy points. And yesterday, they held the Vikings team with Stephon Diggs, with Dalvin Cook for half a game, with Kyle Rudolph, with Adam Thielen. I think that exploded last week against Tampa Bay. Seven. Nothing. Detroit's defense, week in and week out. And this is why I saw somebody on Twitter, it might have been Jake, honestly, that said, strength of schedule, we try to project it out in the preseason. You can't really do it, because no one had any idea the Lions' defense would be serviceable, much less good. Held the Vikings 7 points yesterday. 14. Are you all right?
Go ahead.
The 14. Listen. Yeah, the defense played well, but see, you also have to understand, they held that. That was Case Keenum. You feel what I'm saying?
Last week was Jameis Winston.
Huh?
Last week was Jameis Winston.
Yeah, and Case Keenum had a blow-up game the week before.
Yeah.
It's still Case Keenum.
Against Tampa Bay, who was, the entire defense was sick last week. So, Case Keenum is not.
No. I'm not saying Case Keenum is Brett Favre.
I don't think you can discredit Detroit, though, to be a respectable defense. To hold any team, you know, that, down to 7 points like that, and they were still doing it while Dalvin Cook was in the game, and you know they have two very good wide receivers. I think you got to give them some sort of credit.
No, I give them credit, but let's not go crazy on them.
Nobody said they were the 85 Bears, but you know they're playing well.
Yes, they are playing well.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. The Lions are a much better defense than we expected. I've actually been impressed with the Lions a lot, but the story of the game wasn't the Lions or it wasn't their 14-7 victory. The story of the game is what happened to Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook had a really good first half, gets into the end zone, he's celebrating. You're feeling good as a Dalvin Cook owner because he's creating his own room against his defense, which is the reason I built it up, that really had looked pretty good. You know, he had, at the time, he got hurt, 13 carries, 66 yards, and a touchdown. And like I said, he was the one part of the offense yesterday for Minnesota that looked really, really serviceable. And, well, all of a sudden, he gets through this hole, a lot of room, it's like a nice 10-yard run, and he just grabs his knee. Basically, a guy's helmet.
Dropping the football.
Well, guy hit. It wasn't, he didn't just drop it, to be fair. A guy did hit it. But he dropped the football to grab his knee. And immediately you knew, this is bad. There's a small glimmer of hope when he was really able to walk to the locker room without.
Well, we've seen that a ton.
Many, many times. Without even a limp, which is crazy. We had seen that a ton. I go back to Donovan McNabb, who walked off. I felt like he jogged off, honestly. And Phillip Rivers played through a torn ACL. So,
Tom Brady walked off, too.
Yeah, he did. And it was what we're hearing is a clean tear to the ACL, which will knock Dalvin Cook out for the year. Just a brutal, brutal injury for a kid. It was just a really, really good start. And it sucks if you're a fantasy owner. And I'll tell you what, I'm a Dalvin Cook owner. No, Matt, I know you're a Dalvin Cook owner in quite a few places. I don't want Latavius Murray. I didn't want Latavius Murray.
I own Latavius Murray on one of the teams. I also, both the teams that have LeGarrette Blount on it that have some meaning to it. I also have, Dalvin Cook on it that have some meaning to it. I also had LeGarrette Blount, so it was good to see him get a full workload yesterday. So basically, all right, so McKinnon and Murray will be hot names off the waiver wire this week. I suggest you go pick them up, especially if you're a Dalvin Cook owner. So that's where we stand with Dalvin Cook. It's not the end of the world, depending on, you know, I drafted early a lot of places. I was able to get him in the fourth, fifth round, so not a big that big of a hit. Now, if you take him in the second, it is a much bigger hit. It's a massive hit. You lose your running back, you know, for the rest of the season, you know, only a quarter of the way through it. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. You have to go and make this, you know, we can't stop playing. The computer, the live scoring is going to keep going. The points are going to keep tabulating. So more than likely, today we'll get the news sometime, and it'll be official, and we'll lose Dalvin Cook for the year. But what I pose to the room is, in 2018, is he a first-round pick?
I think it's tough to take a guy off the torn ACL as a first-round pick.
I think so, too. But the key what Corey,
I think he's a first-round pick.
The key what it depends on how he heals. You know, I think it's too early to tell.
He had it early in the year. So he'll be ready for training camp.
Hopefully. If he's ready for training camp, I think, yeah. But I think the key, what you said, is it's not the end of the world, because I got so many texts and seen so many people on Twitter saying my season is over. I'm like, and everybody's, you talk about overreaction Monday, Corey. It's like your season's not necessarily over. You know, maybe if you're 0-4, you're feeling that way. But, you know, if you're like 2-2 and you lost Cook, or even 1-3 and you lost Cook, it's not over. I have Cook in 5 of my 9 leagues. You know, I have Murray in one of them backing him up. I got Mixon in another backing him up.
You own him in 5 of 9 leagues?
5 of 9 leagues. I got CJ Anderson.
Diversify your roster.
I don't have to. The diversification will happen naturally.
Five teams just died.
No, they didn't.
Five teams just died.
You're overreacting on Monday.
All right. Five of your teams just died, Scott.
One player said the season is over.
Scott, that's more
you
than...
You are overreacting.
That's more than half of your fantasy football teams. He's on this roster. On more than half of them, Scott.
I could put another player in the flex.
Who?
I could put other running backs. CJ, by the way, Eddie Lacy outplayed Isaiah Crowell on one carry yesterday.
Good for him.
Yeah, so, but look, the point being is the season's not over, and you want to talk about diversification, it would have happened naturally, even if I would have said in the preseason that I'm not going to go for Dalvin Cook everywhere, but I really like him. I could still end up with him on 4 of 5 19, so it's moot. Really.
It's not moot.
You prove that it's not moot.
It's not moot.
I'm not going to end up with him on every team, though. My season's not over. Corey's overreacting. My season
yeah,
is not over.
5 of 9, I don't have a problem with. I honestly don't.
Diversification himself doesn't have a problem with it, so there's not a problem with it.
But 5 of 9 is a lot.
But that doesn't mean my season's over.
It's like you're overreacting.
If he had, like Scott had said in the past, he would have taken David Johnson in 15 out of 15 leagues. That you can't do. But I mean,
I'm not going to get that opportunity anyway.
With that type of a talent, and like you said, it all depends. Like Corey mentioned earlier, if you drafted a little earlier, Dalvin Cook, when I first started drafting in like say May 23rd, was going early 6th round, end of the 5th round, and he steadily moved on up. So even if you drafted in like June or July, he might have been a 4th round pick.
Well, I was examining those 5 teams last night, and only on one of them where the outlook is bleak, because my other running back depth behind him was Chris Carson.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
but I can slide in C.J. Anderson. I have other running backs I can slide in there. Well, my season is not over, and that's what I wanted to say to the audience, that your season's not over.
Okay, that's a super optimistic view. I'll take the negative view. My season, I have Dalvin Cook, my season's over. My season's absolutely over.
Hold on.
I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm saying it's not across the board. It could happen.
I can say it, and I can say it's not.
I am going to say it.
When it comes to your team. When it comes to Dalvin Cook. Because I have Dalvin Cook. I drafted this a week before the season started, this team, right? This is the team I drafted the closest to the season. And I drafted Dalvin Cook at the end of the 3rd round as my RB1. And it was a disaster. Why did I draft him as my RB1? Because in rounds 1 and 2, I took Michael Thomas and Amari Cooper. And given that, that's an issue, right? And then I came back in round 4. You know who I drafted? I drafted Joe Mixon. That's an issue. So this team is donezo.
See, that's the thing, it's not absolute across the board. Your season is done. Two of the teams that I had Dalvin Cook, I have Kareem Hunt, too.
I'm going to the point here with Dalvin Cook. So you drafted him in the end of the 2nd round, beginning of the 3rd. Towards the end of the draft season, CJ Anderson was slipping. At least in the sure. leagues that I play in, he went in the seventh round.
You can have him in places.
So you can have a guy like CJ Anderson.
Amir Abdullah is playing very well.
Amir Abdullah is playing much better.
But you know what? To be fair, the four people sitting at this table, none of these people told you to draft CJ Anderson.
No,
none of these
I'm
people.
Not, I'm not saying
you Amir Abdullah.
You're right.
You're 100% right.
I don't want to say like you should have drafted CJ Anderson because none of us told you to draft CJ Anderson.
Nobody's telling you that we said that. But I'm saying you people could have gotten these guys.
Sure, absolutely. You could have, or you could have listened to Austin, draft Joe Mixon and Dalvin Cook. And none of that works out quite well. We'll talk more about Minnesota. We'll talk about Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Get into Amir Abdullah here a little bit when we come back. It is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Friends, if you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Nice jam this morning, Tom Burns. We're back here, all the Roto Experts in the morning. It's amazing. I said to you before, I look at this team before the season started, and I'm like, this team is really good. And now here I am.
Paper champions.
I'm sitting here at 0-4 with the least points in the league, and I'm just like, sick. And my other team, by the way,
That I hated,
is now 3-1. And I started four wide receivers. Three out of those four got hurt over the weekend. It was, like I said, a brutal Sunday. I'll get to that team here in a little bit. Latavius Murray really outsnapped Jerry McKinnon in a major way after the Dalvin Cook injury. And this is expected. I know Nathan DeVino and I talked about this on one of our YouTube lives. And that was that if anything ever happened to Dalvin Cook, it's going to be Latavius Murray's going to be the guy. Jerry McKinnon proved he can't do that. McKinnon did hurt his ankle yesterday, by the way. I do want to note that. Murray's going to be the touchdown guy, the early down guy. We'll see what he can do. I'll say this. The Vikings do have the potential to just fall into that hole they did last year. Bradford doesn't come back. Stephon Diggs, 5 for 98. Adam Thielen had 5 for 59 yesterday. Stephon Diggs proving matchup and quarterback proof at this point. And Scotty, this with Diggs, I believe it came against Darius Slay, who's been a big stopper over the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, but you know, to Keenum's credit, you know, he got Thielen involved early, so that certainly helped open up things for Diggs. Kyle Rudolph has been non-existent while Keenum has been in there, though.
Yeah, well, the thing with Rudolph, from what I've seen, is they've kept him in a lot more to solidify that line.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy that, you know, I was in on. I thought, you know, he had that role, especially with Bradford. Look, if Bradford can come back, like, I mean, Dr. A had said, as long as there was nothing structurally wrong, a week or two, and it should heal that bone bruise. But, you know, he's had multiple surgeries on that leg, so I don't think we can have any confidence going forward. But that's a different offense. Even if you put Latavius Murray in there, you have the Murray-McKinnon combo. I mean, that should be able to do something. It's not going to be Dalvin Cook, but it should be serviceable, let's say that. And look, Latavius Murray proved one thing. He can get in the end zone. I know the Raiders have had a great line last year and all that, but if you put that guy by the goal line, I think he can score touchdowns. So we will wait and see. That was a really tough divisional matchup, Lions and Vikings, that late fumble by Thielen, you know, maybe something could have happened. But one thing I will say, there's death, there's taxes, and the tight end scoring on the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, it really does get that simple. Of course, we'll get to that when we get to the Giant game. Sticking here with Detroit and Minnesota, though, speaking of tight ends, Eric Ebron is droppable for sure at this point. He was only useful when he played the Giants. Corey, it seems that we got that one wrong.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah. All of the tight ends are wrong, though. They're still sticking name in the hat, pulling name out. The tight ends are not really hitting.
I think there's a couple you're going to be able to trust.
Who? Zach Ertz, Rob Gronkowski?
I think Charles Clay you can trust.
Until he gets hurt.
He's got to stay healthy.
That's fine.
Until he gets hurt.
When he's on the field, yeah. I think you can put him in your lineup.
When he's on the field, I do think you can start him because they're going to use him. You know, he looks like he could be the top option in the passing game in Buffalo. But outside of that, What tight ends are doing anything?
I'm not saying
Delaney Walker hasn't been bad.
I'm fine with Delaney Walker.
Yeah, Delaney Walker is
fine
decent.
With Delaney Walker. Yeah. But I'm saying, when it comes to Eric Ebron, admitting it, I was wrong. Goodbye. That's it. Done.
Who are you going to pick up?
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it
I'd rather have Tyler Croft.
You'd rather have Tyler Croft.
What, Eric Ebron didn't play?
If I fridge out the tight end in Cincinnati.
It doesn't matter which Tyler is in the red zone.
He's had relevant two straight games now.
Yeah, Tyler Croft. There you go. Yeah.
All right, pick up Tyler Croft and see how that works out. You might get some. You might get some. You'll get
those
games.
It won't be worse than what I'm getting now.
No, you're right. It won't be. It'll be about the same.
Yeah, all right. Fine. It doesn't matter. So, yeah, Eric Ebron did nothing. In fact, this passing game against the very, very good Vikings defense was really, really held in check. Golden Tate had just 3 for 29. Marvin Jones, 2 for 42.
Yep.
You know, which is not much going on. But it's a running game that we do have to talk about because Amir Abdullah had 20 carries in this one, 94 yards and a touchdown. It was funny. I crushed Michael Florio on Twitter, our Michael Florio, on this because he literally tweets out, "Just to note, it was Zach Jenner in the game inside the five, not Amir Abdullah." Next play, Amir Abdullah touchdown from inside the five. And I'm like, Florio,
good for him.
Good tweet, bud.
Yeah, teams are going to do that, though, inside the five-yard line. Not one running back is exclusively going to get the look. Sometimes they're going to change things up to maybe trick the defense. You know, they'll say, oh, okay, cool, put Abdullah or Riddick in here. Maybe they'll think it's a certain look. But, you know, to his credit, I guess to the Lions' credit, too, it's like, we were all killing, you know, the Lions about, you know, not going out and improving their running game. But, you know, they stayed committed to Abdullah. And, you know, he's been producing pretty well. It's not been superstar kind of production. But especially with everybody going down, he's been staying healthy so far. And he's been running pretty well.
I'll say this. It shouldn't be Zach Zenner. If you want to, you either give the ball to Abdullah, or if you want to put Riddick in there, you could spread him out and do something like that. But there's no reason why Zach Zenner should be in there.
Disappointing game yesterday from Theo Riddick. He's been just getting a couple games now.
Yeah, no, back to back.
4 carries, just 4 yards. In the passing game, he was not effective. He had only 2 targets and had 1 catch for 8 yards. They realized it's the Vikings, it's a tough defense. But I thought because of that, they may use a short passing game a little bit more. They didn't, Scott.
No, they haven't the last few weeks with Riddick. I think the emergence of Abdullah has really been adverse for Theo Riddick because it's, you know,
Abdullah can catch the ball also.
Yeah, yeah, Abdullah can catch the ball also. Plus the fact that, you know, when Abdullah was out, they had Riddick there just about every kind of set, and they don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah.
It's like he's a specialist now. He's like a third down roll kind of back, and he's starting to get to the point where you wonder, like, how much longer is Theo Riddick going to be rosterable?
Yeah,
I think he's rosterable. I think you have a tough time starting him right now.
I agree with that. I think he's still rosterable. Especially
he's not there yet. But what I'm saying is he's veering in that direction. Now it's at a point where it's like, okay, I can't start him. Now how long do I patiently wait on my bench with him?
Yeah, you know, I think it's fair. I think it's a fair point, Scott.
Yeah, but I think that's why you have a bench. I mean, everybody, you know, you can go pick up some, you know, next in line guy and hope that he pops or somebody gets injured. But you know.
Yeah,
and also Amir Abdullah has to stay healthy for the season.
Absolutely, and that's why at this point Theo Riddick is undroppable. Speaking of injuries, here, gentlemen, let's go to this whopper of a game between Houston and Tennessee, where it was the Deshaun Watson show all the way around. And let's talk about the injury first. We'll talk about Deshaun Watson. Marcus Mariota ran for 2 touchdowns, and then strains his hamstring. He admitted reaching for that second touchdown. That's where he strained it. That hurt him on the interception that followed. But Mariota strains his hamstring, immediately leaves his game. We'll see how bad that is today. That's a brutal injury because it affects everything from the passing game, of course, to the running game as well. DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry got game scripted. And not a good injury yesterday, Matt, for Marcus Mariota.
No, it's not. And like last season, he went down. David Carr went down. And yesterday, they both went down again. Look, I mean, he is a dual threat. You saw it with that 34-yard run. So this is going to be a major implications for the Titans, who was another team like the Raiders that we thought could challenge New England before the season for the AFC Championship. And look, they just got totally manhandled. So I don't know. It's really going to change the landscape if Mariota is out for extended time.
Yeah, absolutely. Because Matt Castle sucks.
Matt Castle.
This guy, man, still around, though. Still collecting that cash. Corey.
Yo.
You said going into the season Deshaun Watson was the best quarterback in the 2017 draft. You backed up a little bit when Jason Braddock said, listen, Tom Savage is the quarterback this year. You know, you believe in Deshaun Watson, but it's
Jason Braddock is out there. He's out there with the team. You know what I'm saying? He's a part of it. He's at practice every day. I love Jason Braddock to death. He was flat out wrong.
He was flat out wrong.
There was no reason to jump on Tom Savage like that. This kid right here is a million times better than Tom Savage. He is absolutely getting it done.
I always go back to the place where Deshaun, where I see a quarterback, and it goes back to Vic, to be honest with you, that you just flick that wrist, and it goes 75 yards in the air. That's what I see when I see Deshaun Watson. He has the ability to scramble out and just go like this, which is just turn the wrist, and it just flies. And it doesn't always go the direction he wants it to go. It's not always accurate, but you always have a shot when you have a guy like this. And Scott, yesterday was just an unbelievable spot for him in a division game at home. The freaking Houston Texans put up 57 points. The Texans! 57 points. 4 passing touchdowns for Deshaun Watson. A rushing touchdown for Deshaun Watson. This guy is good.
By the way, one more thing on Mariota. Inside injuries last night on their Twitter account was saying it could be a multi-week injury for Marcus Mariota. But, you know, back to Watson, though. Just, you know, I don't see Vic because I never thought Vic was good at the high percentage pass. It's like Watson is good at everything. You know, he's totally revived DeAndre Hopkins, which is a beautiful thing to see. He keeps the play alive. He's very poised. He takes what the defense gives him. He's playing really, really well right now. You know, that was, like Matt was saying, awful Titans secondary, and he took full advantage, but he was also throwing, you know, he's been throwing swing passes to the running backs and things like that. It's just, this is what I saw in the preseason. Corey liked him. I liked him. I didn't expect this level of success that quickly, but it's very impressive.
Yeah, but see, a couple of weeks ago after the game against the Bengals, it was like, oh, he can't read the defense. He can't throw this. Mm-hmm. He can't move guys this way. He can't do that. He's learning on the fly.
Yeah, hey, I said last Monday, I did a 180 on this guy. He impressed the hell out of me versus the Patriots. Mm-hmm. You can say it's a terrible defense, but whatever. But the last 2 weeks, he's combined for 7 total touchdowns, a 67% completion rate, a 73.5% completion rate, and the thing that sticks out, a 9.1 yards per attempt, 8.3 yards per attempt the last 2 games.
Is Deshaun Watson, Corey, an every week starter in fantasy football?
Yeah, Deshaun Watson. It's a 12-team league. Deshaun Watson should be played every week.
There you go. Just like that. And hey, you know, Scotty, it's interesting you talk about how you believe in Deshaun Watson, the high percentage passes. That was something that they didn't like about him in this preseason, right? That he could not do the high percentage pass. So the fact that you're seeing that bodes very, very well for him.
Yeah, that shows a lot from a scouting perspective how he's turned the corner.
More on Houston, including the revitalization, as these guys mentioned, of DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, and Lamar Miller next. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning, and listen, we can all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to 3 guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. Very nice song, yeah. All right, so so Deshaun Watson, 5 touchdowns yesterday. It's funny, you said, oh, the last two weeks, combined for 7 touchdowns. 5 of them came yesterday in a monster game for Deshaun Watson here with Houston. And what the best part about this was, Matt, was he made everyone better around him. DeAndre Hopkins was just like dead in the water last year, and nobody wanted him because he had no quarterback. Has come alive over the past couple weeks. Thank you, buddy. 10 receptions for 107 yards and a touchdown. Lamar Miller looked good yesterday.
Lamar Miller.
Well, I was building up to it, but yes. Lamar Miller had 4 receptions for 56 yards and a touchdown. Also ran 19 times for 75 yards and another touchdown. And it's amazing when you have a quarterback that can at least at least provide something, it makes the harder for the defense to stop the run. And that was the case with Lamar Miller yesterday. Yes, Scott.
You know, just like the pressure that you put on the defense with a quarterback like that when you can run the read option is incredible.
Okay. Yeah. God bless you. God bless you. So then you get to who I picked up last week, and that was Will Fuller, man. Four catches for 35 yards, two touchdowns. And listen, there was none of those deep passes you used to for Will Fuller. But when you see Deshaun Watson, you just want a piece of the offense, which is crazy. It's the freaking Houston Texans. But I'm happy that I own Will Fuller, Scott.
Yeah, when was the last time you had a relevant second receiver in the Houston Texans
offense?
Week
one last year.
You know, you look back to even the Andre Johnson years, you know, that was an issue. And, you know, this is, like I say, they're always quarterbacks.
What was his name? Kevin Walter? Was that his name?
Remember him?
Yeah, Kevin Walter.
For a short minute,
he was good.
He was a Rocky Marciano, for a little while. Like I said, some quarterbacks really elevate the play of the guys around them. I think if Chicago, is going to make the right move and go with Trubisky, I think, you'll see some of these receivers become more relevant.
You're paying attention to, like, the news or the injury news, Will Fuller was possibly going to play this week. He was cheap. If he was on waiver wires, you know, I scooped Josh Doctson and him up this week. Fuller really didn't cost you much. There wasn't
nothing.
Much competitive bids out there. I mean, I had a couple teams where I just had him on my bench. Of course, they said he could be back after a month. So, he was on my bench. I did not start him nowhere.
It's funny.
It was nice to see.
I talked to a friend of mine yesterday. He calls me 1,000 times a day. He listens to the program. He calls me 1,000 times a day.
What's his name?
His name's Max.
Max.
I'm sure he's listening right now.
Are you going to be like Jake and tell him to stop calling you?
That's why I wanted you to say his name.
I enjoy Max's call. I answer Max's call.
No, that's why I said you should say his name. Max might put a little snap in the shorts.
So Max yesterday started Deshaun Watson in his league. Wound up starting Greg Zuerlein, put up 30 points.
You know, the Greg Zuerlein thing is crazy.
Crazy, man.
That shouldn't happen.
That's just crazy, period. Last week it was Matt Prater. You know, I wanted to bring up last week, but it just didn't happen. It's like sometimes when some of your other players are not producing, there's been a lot of kickers like this new kid for the Eagles and Prater last week. You know, some of the kickers have been saving your fantasy days.
What about
days.
The Arizona-San Francisco game? There were 9 field goals.
Yeah. No, that game sucked. Anyway, so I talked to Matt. He started Deshaun Watson yesterday. And he calls me before the game. And Michael Crabtree, of course, ruled out for whatever. So I was like, all right, I have 3 wide receivers on the bench. I'm deciding between Paul Richardson and Cooper Kupp. He's like, you should start Will Fuller. I'm not starting Will Fuller. I'm telling you, you should start Will Fuller. I was like, I'm just not going to do that. And he was right in that one. So it was a good call by my buddy Max.
Cooper Kupp did have a nice game, though.
Yeah, I didn't start him either. I started Paul Richardson. But yeah, DeAndre Hopkins, Corey, when you drafted him, it was like, remember him and Allen Robinson? Oh, which one? One toward his ACL. Let's not forget about his torn ACL, too. But DeAndre Hopkins, he's looked very, very good since Deshaun Watson became the quarterback in Houston.
I mean, he's going to be a wide receiver one the remainder of the way, one of the best bargains on draft day. He racks up double-digit targets every week. He'll get close to double-digit catches every week. He is a wide receiver one just like he needs to be.
Yeah, he is. And speaking of wide receiver ones that went down, you know, we mentioned Amari Cooper. We're going to get to him in just a second. But my wide receiver one, I know, Matt, this has to be a brutal day for you too, dude, because, like, you lost Dalvin Cook yesterday with a torn ACL, and then Julio Jones left this game quite early with what was a hip pointer. And what really bothered me as a Julio Jones owner was the dude wanted to get back in the game, had his helmet on, they made him take it off. He, like, sprinted to the locker room, and I'm like, all right, like, you get a little x-ray, he'll be fine. Did not return.
No, I guess the positive spin you're going to try to take off of it is that he wanted to play. They have a bye coming up. And look, at some point, he hasn't been Julio Jones this year. He hasn't put up that monster game yet. We've been waiting for it. So if you can survive till week 6, that's what, you know, and you get Julio back then, off of the bye, you got to hope, you know, he's going to carry you those last 10 games.
Scott, let me throw this at you. And maybe it's a better question for Dr. A, but I feel like at least this year, we have seen an abundance of, like, hip pointers or hip injuries, which I know, I think it was Dr. A that might have been tweeting about it, but someone said, you know, they're calling it like a hip injury, but it's really kind of an oblique injury, which we've seen a massive increase in baseball. And it certainly seems like these hip and obliques, it's really affecting the NFL now, too.
Yeah, well, it's just everything across the board. It seems like there's more knee injuries, whatever. But I think What's happening this year, though, is it's happening to more noteworthy guys, I think, at one time than ever before. And it's really, really frustrating. You know, I was talking about having Dalvin Cook in like 5 of 9 leagues. My season's not over, but 2 of them are a lot of trouble because of the names that have been taken out. It's like I looked at one team, and yeah, I lost Cook. I also lost David Johnson and Chris Carson on that same team. So it's about the significant names now that are attached to the injuries.
Sure. Yeah, and like I said, I think injuries do happen every year.
They happened last year, too, though. They happen late.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They happen every year. So I don't want to say this is more so.
But
more so, than
so early, though, to have so many big names. Like,
I think it happens every year.
Either
really
go down or get banged up.
Let me go back to 2015. That was kind of like this. 2015, the running back landscape got wiped out.
It happens every year. This isn't any different. I'm just saying, in particular, the hip injury, the hip pointer, seems to be quite common. And I haven't seen that as a common an injury. Like the ACL, it happens every single year.
Like who has gotten a hip besides Julio?
We've had Carlos Hyde had a hip pointer. We saw it now. I'm forgetting who the third person was.
Hyde played through it yesterday.
He did, but he was questionable. He was questionable all week with this hip thing. Michael Crabtree at one point was deemed a hip. Obviously, it's a chest. We have seen, and I'm sorry if I'm forgetting the third person, we saw another dude leave yesterday game with a hip injury. And I was like, this is weird. This is a weird thing.
Yeah, Fantasy Jesus, Joe Galina mentioned that yesterday, that this is becoming somewhat of an epidemic, it's looking like. I don't have the list of players in front of me.
I'll have to find it for Dr.
But
A for this week.
I think you make a really good point about this.
So we'll ask him about it. So not only did the Falcons lose Julio Jones yesterday, they then lose Mohamed Sanu really at the beginning of the third quarter. So they were without any of their main wide receivers, which means this was going to be a big Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman game. And I couldn't understand it. From an NFL perspective, they're on this last drive. They're at the 15-yard line or so at the 10. It's 3rd and 1. Just hand the ball off to Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman. Get the 1 yard and restart the downs. They didn't. They wind up throwing 2 in a row. They lose the game. Terrible job on the NFL red zone. Totally not showing it. They show a game with 8 minutes left in the Dallas Cowboys and the LA Rams. That's a brutal job there. But the Falcons, they fall to Buffalo, who now, after Matt Modica begging them to tank, begging them to fight with the Jets, killing them when they beat the Jets, improved to 3-1.
I tell you one thing, Sarkisian needs to get Shanahan's playbook back out and say, look, we're going to run this one until further notice. See what happens. Look, they have the bye. This team desperately needs this bye week. It came at a perfect time for them. Matt Ryan, needs to step up his game. I know maybe some of the interceptions, you can see him off of receiver's hands, but he's got to be better. He had an MVP season last year. He's got to be better.
Yeah, this team is it's banged up. Matt Ryan's not throwing touchdown passes. Julio's banged up. Julio's banged up. Vic Beasley is not there, and they have some other injuries. On defense, they're depleted right now. When they're healthy, they still might be the best team in the NFC, or you can tell one of them.
But they also could be 1-3. If you really look at, they should have lost to the Bears that game. That Detroit game at the inch line.
This is true. Yeah.
But I'm just pointing that out. They easily could have been 1-3.
Well, the difference between winning and losing is whether you make the plays or you don't.
But I'm just pointing that out, that they're not having a dominant season. If my
uncle had long hair, he'd be my aunt. So,
if Julio and Mohamed Sanu are out for a significant period of time, I think the people that are going to step up are Austin Hooper, who had 5 receptions for 50 yards yesterday, and then a lot of Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman. 58 yards on the ground and a touchdown for Devontae Freeman, who literally scores every week. And then Coleman had almost 80 yards rushing plus 65 yards receiving.
Coleman is a total
package.
He's a yards from scrimmage type guy.
Yeah.
He'll get you some runs. He'll run for a few yards. He'll run for a good amount of yards. He'll catch for a good amount of yards in the PPR. He'll give you those receptions. He's an RB2 each and every single week, Tevin Coleman.
People get scared of Coleman because he doesn't have enough volume, but he's the type of guy that makes the most of every touch. That's why him
caught
and Freeman
caught a 40-yard pass yesterday.
Yeah. He looked really good.
That's why him and Freeman coexist so well. They both make the most of every touch.
And they got those feet down and housing that 40-yard pass is very impressive. You're absolutely right, Scotty. They exist well because they do different things. It's not just a straight backup role. They both on the field at the same time, you do a lot of the same things. I'm not going to question it because Buffalo Bills are 3-1, Matt. I tweeted this out yesterday. I don't understand it, man. Like, you are like driving down the field trying to win a ball game, First, you hand the ball off to Mike Tolbert a bunch. Then you hand it to Patrick DeMarco. You have Shady McCoy on your team.
Yeah, I don't get it. And, like, I'm trying to look at the team as a fan, but I was trying to be objective. I'm like, okay, they beat the Jets week one. That was a close game for the most part, 14-12.
Absolutely.
They went to Carolina. They did win on the road, but that was a 9-3 game. Carolina's offense was atrocious.
Still win.
So, you know, but they did defeat Denver at home. So I was like, you know what? This team could really implode at any point, but... Impressive road win.
McCoy's banged up. That's why.
That's not an answer. Ever get Patrick DeMarco the ball with the game on the line. Exactly. Ever. We take a break. More about Buffalo and Atlanta when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning. And listen, we could all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to three guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. Roto Experts in the morning. And I figured it out, Corey. It was the Patrick DeMarco revenge game, which is...
That's why they gave him the football.
Why they gave him the football. Yeah. LeSean McCoy, 20 carries, 76 yards, 3 receptions, 32 yards. Is he a guy you have a receipt for?
Nah. Still getting to work. Kind of doing what you expect him to do. Still like the catches. He's healthy. Well, he's healthy enough to play, so... I don't have to. You don't have to look at the receipt for him.
All right, there you go. Charles Slay, 5 receptions, 112 yards. You look for a tight end. This dude's the tight end. I mean, as long as he's healthy, he's the number one option in the Bills' passing offense, which isn't a major passing offense, but he's still the number one option.
But he was the one guy that Tyrod Taylor did know coming into the season.
Yes,
everybody
sir.
Else was exodus out of Buffalo. And the thing with Clay is, he's just got to stay on the field. He's got the legs of like a 90-year-old man, I thought, coming into the season. He's consistently, they're managing him well early on. And if you own him, he's been one of the tight end booms this year in a market that's crashed.
I'll say this, Scotty. Atlanta sits here 3-1 heading into their bye. They very easily could be 1-3. I mean, very easily. Should have lost week one to the Bears. Should have lost last week to the Lions, the Golden Tate play. Obviously lost to Buffalo. Listen, I get it. You won, you win. You don't look back like that. But this is a team that maybe we should have seen this Buffalo win coming because Buffalo's been playing well. And Atlanta, like I said, should have lost these other two games. The NFC champions, not exactly off to the best of starts.
I really don't look at it that way. Like I said, it's like fans are losing teams when they, their teams end up 7-9. They say, well, we could have won this game, sure. That game, and that game, and that game. We won 11-5. You didn't. The margin for victory and defeat in the NFL can be very, very small and can ride on a slippery slope, but the winning teams win and the losing teams lose. That's the way I look at it. Atlanta, in spite of the injuries, in spite of some sporadic play, is still 3-1. Their record is what they said they are. Now, at the same time, they're very banged up. Atlanta's 2-2.
They're 3-1.
Yeah. They're very banged up, and they can use this bye. The wins haven't been as impressive as we thought, but still, they do what it takes to win when it's time to win. But it's fantasy, there's a fantasy show. It's we haven't been getting enough out of Julio Jones. Austin Hooper's been a disappointment, and Matt Ryan's just not throwing touchdown passes.
Yeah, he's not. And again, yeah, you're right. They are winning games, and that's all that matters. But I'll tell you this. You look at the Giants, and I go back to the Giants just for one second. You won 11 games last year. That was not a team that should have won 11 games. You're seeing it now that they convinced themselves they were a much better team than they obviously are.
Yeah, I think the whole NFC East, like I said, before the season, I didn't see any team winning 10 games. You got to face the AFC West. That's a tough division. A team like the Cowboys now have a first-place schedule.
Sure.
That does matter. I don't care what people say. That does matter.
Let's get into it.
Yesterday was the lack of not having Sean Lee. That defense, you could do whatever you want to do.
But it's still the Rams. Come on.
And Sean Lee's also the Rams.
The Rams play the Seahawks next week. They might beat them.
It's going to be a good game.
They might.
That's
at home. They always play them tough.
It's going to be a very good game. Let's talk about the Rams.
Always beat the Seahawks at home, though.
Well, it's not no Jeff Fisher anymore, though, so we'll see. We'll see if that changes.
Well, this is a better team now, too.
But the Seahawks are the one team Jeff Fisher faced.
But I mean, going into yesterday, they'd beaten the Colts with Scott Tolzien.
Absolutely. Beat the Niners
and stuff, so.
Well, if you're going to be a respectable team in the NFL, which they want, then you have to beat those teams.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll see what Sean McVay and Co. could do there. We'll talk about the Rams and Cowboys coming up in hour number two. Also coming up in hour two, where you get into the Broncos and the Raiders. A 16-10 victory for the Broncos. And Corey, this is one I just read wrong, man. Trevor Siemian, quickly scored a touchdown, quickly threw like 115 yards, and then like 35 yards the rest of the game.
Yeah, well, obviously they were able to run the football a little bit more. They wanted to kind of slow it down, take the ball out of his hands a little bit. Not really take the ball out of his hands, but running more ball control, attack game plan, get the W, send Oakland packing, and get on to the next week, get that big division win. What worries me here is Demaryius Thomas.
Yes, that's what I wanted to get
this into. Demaryius Thomas. This is a thing now. Manny Sanders is the one, and Demaryius Thomas is I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know if he's all of a sudden washed, but Demaryius Thomas is not getting it done at
all. I'll give you something strategically that hurts Demaryius Thomas. Trevor Siemian does not challenge defenses downfield at all. You know, he's not a big play guy whatsoever.
No, he's not. We'll talk more about Denver, more about Oakland, including Derek Carr's injury, and what's up with Amari Cooper. That comes your way to kick off hour number two next on the Roto Experts in the Morning.